Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, it's Lani Ka'a here for Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're excited to be here, and we are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. We have a special guest today that's going to share an amazing story. How can the walls of prison become the training ground, a place where visions and dreams can be birthed? Today's guest, Pamela Winderweedle Hillman, found herself in prison after living a life of drugs and terrible, terrible injustices for 35 years. This is her story of the love of God pursuing the one lost sheep, using her life to bring others like her the hope and eternal joy of a life in Christ. We pause right now to remind you the reason we have this show, the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Him, no matter what you are going through. He died on the cross for your sins, and He died for mine. He shed His blood, He was buried, but He was raised on the third day. We believe that He was raised. Today He is calling you. Pamela Winderweedle Hillman is founder and president of Life Changers Legacy, Keep Our Ministries. Among her many counseling certifications, she is certified in therapeutic interventions combined with biblical specialties, the fundamentals of prevention and addiction, and transformational leadership. She is also an empowerment life coach and an ordained chaplain. Pamela is married to Oz Hillman, and they reside with their dogs in North Atlanta, Georgia. Pamela, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much. It was quite an intro.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to Hawaii from the East Coast. Thank you for joining us.
Wonderful.
Pamela,
thank you for having me.
We really want to just jump in because you have so much testimony that we want to share. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Atlanta, but I spent a lot of my time at my grandmother's in Alabama. They had a 100-acre farm. Mm-hmm. So Jesus was instilled in me a lot for my grandmother. She played piano in the church for 65 years. Wow. So the environment there was more of a home life than what I had in Atlanta. My mother, she was a Playboy bunny, and my dad was in the military, and when he returned, he was an alcoholic, and it was just that lifestyle.
Yeah.
It was so, but my roots are really in the farm.
I love
the farm.
I love that.
Yes.
Who influenced you? I assume it's your grandmother, but who really influenced you growing up?
Well, it was totally my grandmother. As I said, she was a big part of the church, and she would actually cook meals for them for the pastors to come to the house after church. And this one day, I was 5 years old, and this big jolly pastor comes over and he puts his hand on me and he says, "This one here's special. She's going to do great things for God one day." Mm. And I really believe it was an impartation.
Mm.
At 5 years old, you really don't know, those words, but it stuck with me. I heard them throughout my life. And it was shortly after that that I actually started getting molested by, it started at 5 years old,
wow,
but up until I was about 12, by three different men.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that crazy that the word of promise and purpose is spoken into your life and immediately there is an attack that says, maybe I can stop this. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, the enemy, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
And it's the seed he's after.
Mm.
So the impartation was the seed. And so the enemy came in to destroy that, and he did it through all these different traumas, and the enemy comes in to build on each trauma more and more. And then when my mom, she remarried at she got with a hippie guy when I was 9, and he smoked pot, so he convinced her that it was no big deal. She tried it, and it became a family affair, and we would, he always said, if you want something, don't go on the street and get it. You don't know what you're getting. Come to me and I'll get it for you. And we were just always using drugs.
Wow. Pamela, did...
Well, it was a weekend thing. It wasn't always. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, even a weekend thing is a lot for a child. You know?
Do you have siblings, and were they at the farm with you?
I have a sister, and I believe she was actually molested more than I was, because she became mentally ill at 16 years old, mm-hmm. and she tells the story of what happened. She told one prophetic woman one time, so it gave me better understanding, but she is still today mentally ill. She's bipolar and schizophrenic and all of that, and I believe that it, for me, I believe the hand of God was on me, mm-hmm. and even in the destructive behaviors that I indulged in, it was just an escape mechanism. It was to take me somewhere else than stuck up in the bedroom getting molested.
Is she your older sister?
She's 11 months older, but I kind of
took very close.
The older, yeah. I took on the older role growing up because I got put up in school, and she failed. So I think that was part of the disconnect for her as well. But we just, we're still, I still see her. She's in a home. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Oh, I was
just
curious.
The enemy. The enemy comes in. The enemy comes in to divide. He comes in to conquer. Mm-hmm. And this division of families is his tool. Mm-hmm. So we have to know the tactics of the enemy mm-hmm. to better know how to really survive in life, but to thrive and to counter his effects.
Yes. You know, Pamela, I know we're going to talk so much more about the programs that you've been able to come through, so much more about your life. But I just kind of want to pause here, because there are our listeners out there who are truly young and facing the same challenges. Mm. And I want to ask this question, and I'm not really sure how to place it, but I'm just going to say, if you could go back to that time and you could... I don't know, do something differently. Advise that little girl.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
Well, I would first say, do not keep it a secret. Because mm-hmm. I was told that I mm-hmm. would be killed if I said anything. Mm-hmm. And then when I did say something, I wasn't believed. But mm-hmm. then I was believed after it started happening with my sister. And so I, most importantly, is it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. And just like when my dad's bags were being thrown out in the front yard, I thought it was my fault. Mm-hmm. But I caused all this. Wow. And so I carried that weight for a long time. But mainly, tell somebody, this is not your secret. This is not something that you need to keep. Mm-hmm. Because first, I believe train up a child in the way he should go or she should go, and they will not depart from it. We have to train the children that this is a warfare. We have to know Jesus Christ first mm-hmm. and foremost. He is our defense. He is our deliverer. He is our everything. Mm-hmm. And without him, we are subject to the world. Mm-hmm. Anything and everything can happen to us.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. When was it that you gave your life to Christ?
I really believe, excuse me, that as a child, I knew Jesus. I believe I accepted him as a child. Mm-hmm. But something the Lord showed me was, and this is, I'll actually get back to this when this analogy happened, but the Lord showed me when I was just talking to him, sitting on a toilet with a toilet paper roll. He showed me how my soul, my spirit man represents the center of the whole. My soul represents the white of the toilet paper. Mm-hmm. So even though I knew Jesus at a very young age, I still would use drugs to escape the pain.
Mm-hmm.
I would pray. I would ask God to get me out of this. You know, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be using drugs. I didn't want to be, you know, in this sexual act. But the Lord showed me through the toilet paper roll that my soul was infected, and it was with shame and guilt and condemnation and you know, this perversion and that drug, and all of this is in my soul. Mm. All of the attacks of the enemy is in my soul. Mm. So what am I going to do with it? What can I do with it? Mm-hmm. So if our spirit man is in the center and we've accepted Jesus to come in and fill that hole, then as we purposely, intentionally pull off every sheet of the white of the toilet paper roll, our center man, we fill up with the Word of God, hearing the Word, being in social, in church, just functions with other believers, mm-hmm. then we're filling up our spirit. Mm-hmm. And as Paul says, your spirit and your soul become one. Mm-hmm. So you're tearing off all the sheets of this toilet paper, but you have to do it. Yeah. You have to be intentional about going to workshops, going to classes, talking to people, getting help. Mm-hmm. We can't do this alone. We weren't put here to do this alone. Yeah. And that's why we have the body of Christ. It's called a body for a reason. One serves in one area. Another serves in another area. So we have to know that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pamela, we want to continue to really press into this concept in this talk you're having, this testimony of yours about pulling off the sheets of toilet paper. I mean, that's the clearest visual I think I've ever heard.
It is.
Exactly. For understanding what we do as the process of sanctification and becoming the spirit and soul, becoming
Amen.
One, as Paul mm-hmm. says. Mm-hmm. Pull off the sheets of toilet paper. I love that.
Right.
That's
what an
so
analogy.
Simple. Right.
And it came straight from heaven.
Right.
He's a simple guy.
I love it when he talks to us in those clear languages. We're going to take a break in a minute here, Pamela.
And okay.
When we come back, we just want to help our listeners peel back the sheets of toilet paper. We want to talk about that walk that you had and things that you can share that they can glean from, that they can as well. You know, many of our listeners, they have given their life to Christ, but they are in the midst of that struggle. Mm-hmm. Of how do I let go of my past and let go of the things that people have told me I am? There is so much lies and dead roots that are so deeply buried. How do we remove them? How do we take away those sheets of toilet paper? Such a good analogy. Yes. Pamela Hillman, she is the founder of Life Changers Legacy, speaking with us today about her life and the way Jesus has changed her life. It's an amazing story, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha and welcome back. This is Lani Ka'a'a in studio with Suzanne Maurer. We're here for Danny Yamashiro, and we are having an amazing discussion with Pamela Hillman. We're going to continue in a minute, but before we do, if you would like to hear today's entire program, because it's a life-changing message of God's redemption, please go to thegoodlifehawaii.com where you can listen to it, you can download it, you can share it with someone. If someone's coming to mind today as you're listening to this, be sure to share that, this message with that person. Change their life that way. Pamela Hillman, a woman whose grandmother prayed for her, dedicated her to Jesus at a very, very young age, lived a life of pain and shame almost immediately. As she says, the enemy came to steal the seed of her purpose, of her calling. Sexual assault by those that should have loved her and protected her caused her to turn to a life of drugs to numb her pain for 35 years. We're here with Pamela Hillman today. Pamela, welcome back. And you talked a little bit initially giving your life to Christ. And then we were just finishing, a talk about how that process of becoming closer to Him, learning more of Him, trusting Him more. Take us through that. What were some of the challenges of peeling away what you call the sheets of toilet paper?
Yeah. Well, for me, I was always seeking love in the wrong places because I didn't have that father figure. And that's key. And that's most people. You will discover in the question that, you know, was their father there? Mm. And it's usually a fatherless. We're living in a fatherless generation, and it's really obvious.
Yes.
But for me, not having really that discipline and that father image to love me, I wanted love. So I, of course, turned to men. And then, you know, used more drugs because I felt the shame of it. I knew it was wrong. And so it was a vicious cycle that the enemy kept me in. It was a confrontation within it that I lived my entire life. So the enemy, when I say that he tries to kill, he definitely tried to kill me so many times, so many accidents. I wasn't driving, but I would go through the windshield, a couple of different ones, and back in, and it sliced my esophagus. My face was hamburger meat. It was, I was molded for a body cast and in a wheelchair for a while. They said I wouldn't walk again, but by God, I run today. Praise God. and I do go to a deep tissue massage therapist to make sure that I continue in my maintenance.
Right.
It's important for us to maintain this temple that God has given us and that He lives in now. So I really want to emphasize that because a lot of people don't take care of their body.
Right.
You know,
their
mind.
Right.
It's so important. And He expects that of us. It's part of our obligation, I believe. And just so many things I could talk about that. But so throughout my life, I wasn't running from God because He was always with me and I always talked to Him and I always cried out to Him and asked forgiveness over and again because I knew it was wrong and I didn't want to be there, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And so many people are trapped in that cycle. And it's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie that you can't get out, that you can't change, that you can't be different. It's a lie. Every bit of it is built up lies. And it creates a core belief system in people, one trauma and another trauma, and the lie after lie. So we start believing these lies. We believe that, we're never going to amount to anything. All these words that are spoken over us. But I had a seed planted. I had a seed that was in me that continued to say, you don't belong here. You're going to do great things for God one day. And I got chills through my body right now. And I kept hearing that.
Yeah.
And that, I would just stand up and I would leave. I would run out of places. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Where are you going? I don't belong here. I'm not supposed to be here.
Good.
You know?
Praise
I mean,
the Lord.
People thought I was just nuts. But I just knew it. And I prayed and I prayed and I said, God, you've got to take this for me. I don't want to be this person. Mm. And, you know, it was a long, long time that I prayed. I tried to commit suicide at 26 years old. Mm. And thank God I prayed before I did, because it didn't happen. It wouldn't happen. And I just kept trying.
Wow.
And I just finally gave up and said, okay, I surrender. You know, help me. And and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, but and I've seen an angel. He brought an angel to me. Wow. And but I've seen in the spirit realm so many times. I've seen the evil. I've seen the evil in the midst of the drugs and the people. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how God would put me with people that would have seizures. And I would command those seizures out, and people would see angels around that were atheists. They didn't believe in anything. And then they woke up and they said, I saw angels all around. Wow. And the demons inside some of the people, they would rear up and growl at me. And, and people were witnessing this.
Mm.
So I know God used me, even when I started going to jail.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would always turn to the Word of God. I was always having a Bible study in the in the middle of the dorm, and people would come sit down and they would accept Christ. There were some that were in the occult and had pentagrams on their stomachs, and they got delivered. And, you know, you could see the deliverance. I mean, it was horrific. But so many times throughout the course of this behavior that I couldn't stay clean for more than 2 years. Mm-hmm. I was even in Bible college for a while during my 18-month sobriety period, and I fell and slept with a man. Mm-hmm. And the condemnation and guilt just overtook me, and I went and used drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, I wanted to find out what this insidious drug, how it kept the mind cycled.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually was praying to God for him to deliver me, and I had a big house. I had a lot of vehicles in the drive, a Hummer, and had money, and was miserable.
Mm.
You know, I had so many men that it's part of it. It was just, you know, I created a business.
Mm.
I was a madam. I had men that flew in from different states, and I was just miserable with this life. It didn't matter how much money I had.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. I sold drugs to keep my habit, basically, but I made money with it, but I only had select people.
Yeah.
And I was very, I don't know, I guess business in it, but it was just a miserable life.
You know, as you say this, the things that you're talking about, I just want to pause first, and I just want to go way back. I know you shared a lot, but go way back to that moment when you said, "But a seed was planted in me," and really just to say, like, as parents, as grandparents, we need to plant, we need to ask the Lord, we need to be partnered with the Lord to plant seeds of purpose, promise.
Amen.
In our kids, because they will face the attack of
That's
the
right.
enemy, who will
That's
try
right.
to kill, steal, and destroy. And he sure came at you, but the seed that was planted by those that loved you, your grandmother, I'm sure she laid in bed. I'm sure she spent many nights suffering, wondering.
Yeah.
How are you?
I know she did.
What are you?
Yeah.
Where are you? And yet God showed up, saved your life. Would not allow the seed to die that he planted, because that's his promise. And I want to stop there and make sure that our audience understands the importance of planting that seed, because through the rough times, that seed will last, will provide, will save. Even in this terrible fatherless generation that we surely all suffer in. We are about to, I do want to talk to you about your time in jail, because I think that turning point is a testimony of God's great redemption. We're going to take a break right now, Pamela, and we're going to come back, and we want to touch on that. We want to talk about that time, the Daughters of Zion, using your time wisely, your first ministry. What was that all about? We want to talk about your Josephine calling. What do you say? What do you talk about when you say you have a Josephine calling? I just loved that. Pamela Hillman here is with us. She's the founder and president of Life Changers Legacy Kibar Ministries. It's an organization designed to empower women and men returning home from incarceration to their families. We'll return with her and her amazing story of God's redemption, love, mercy, grace, power, and miracles. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Lani Ka'a'a here with Suzanne Maurer in studio for Danny Yamashiro. We're here today with Pamela Hillman. She's founder and president of Life Changers Legacy Kibar Ministries. If you want to know more about her ministry, please go to lifechangerslegacy.org. That's lifechangerslegacy.org. You can sign up for her daily newsletter, find many helpful resources, really to help those coming out of a life of incarceration. Pamela, we were talking in the last segment about many of the attacks of the enemy, even as a Christian, you face. But there was a turning point in your life, and I know that it's in a powerful story of God's redemption. So, tell us about that turning point where God met you in the midst of prison.
Yes. Well, as I was saying before about the house that I lived in, and I was just miserable. And I'd been crying out to God and saying, you know, I just don't want to be here anymore. Take me home. Take me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, put me in an institution, put me in prison, put me somewhere that I can't do this anymore. Because people would come over and I would be sitting on the bed with a Bible, or in my chair with a Bible open in my lap, or next to me. And TBN would be on, or some preacher, and I would have a drink next to me, or I would have it in my hands, and I would, you know, be smoking crack. So they said, how can you be watching that or reading that when you're using? And I said, well, if I'm not watching that or reading that when I'm using, I'm never going to be watching it, because I'm always using, and I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be using anymore. I don't want to be doing this anymore. So I know that is the only thing that's going to get me out of this. And I said that. Did anybody who said anything? And it was like, I'm not going to be here long. I felt it in my spirit. I knew it was something was about to happen because I've been praying. And I know, you know, God hears the prayers even of those who are in the willful sin, because I didn't want to be there. He knew my heart, and he knew I wanted out of it. But I was just stuck. So as I was praying, I did have a driver, and he took me to I have to tell you this specific point because it's my surrender. But I knew where we went, and I went in real quick and got the drugs, but I came out. I knew something was wrong. I felt in my spirit. I'm very discerning, and I felt it, and I said, something is not right here. And I knew we were being followed, and sure enough, it was unmarked cars. But when they pulled us over, I'm trying to get through this really quick. I'm missing a lot of points, but the key point is that they didn't find anything on me, but I did have drugs on me. But I knew that it was a violation of probation, and I would only spend 3 to 6 months in jail. Well, that wasn't long enough. That's not long enough to reprogram your mind and your soul. It's just not. But God knew that. So as I hid the drugs in the back seat of the police car, and I went inside to the bathroom, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I thought you wanted this to be over. And I said, I do. And he said, well, tell them about the drugs in the back seat.
Wow.
And I said, I'll get another charge. And I didn't hear anything else because the decision was their mind. Okay?
Yeah.
I had to make the choice. If I wanted it to be over, I had to be honest. Completely honest.
Wow.
I mean, I had to be rigorously honest to the point that they wanted to give me 20 years in prison because of that drug in the back seat. Because I'd been locked up before, possession of cocaine every single time. It was always cocaine or crack. And so they had had enough, and they said, you know, you need to go to prison for 20 years. And I was just, wow. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe this. So I'm kicking and screaming, treatment, treatment, I need treatment, send me to treatment. Well, God had another plan. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So an attorney came in. Yes. An attorney came in, and he got me 5 years, do 3 years. On three, you do a third. You do a third of that. So I was really guessing it was, you know, I had a year or so. But God knew 18 months was my number. I needed 18 months. So when I go in, it was really horrific in the beginning. It was terrible. I was still kicking and screaming and really in denial and you know, mad at God. And then I finally started seeing this through his eyes. And it took me a while. It took a few months, but I surrendered and I said, oh, my gosh, because I was having these Bible studies. And the women were coming, and they were coming in flocks. I mean, they're so hungry. They don't have somebody there to teach. And so I started a class called Daughters of Zion, Women of God Using Their Time Wisely. They wanted change. They didn't know how. So and they're coming up to me after class, and they're saying, well, you don't know what it's like. This happened to me. Another day, another lady. This happened to me. I did this. I did that. And some stories were very similar. I didn't do, you know, maybe as horrific, but I've been there. I can relate to them.
Sure.
So I went to my room. The Lord gave me a different perspective. He gave me words one day. He said, I want you to see this with my eyes. This is your college campus. I brought you here to train and equip you for what I have prepared for you.
Wow.
So I said, wow, awesome. So I'm in training. So I got these psychology books, recovery books, and self-help books, all these books sent in to me. I had a very good support system out here. And I never had that before.
Wow.
So this time it was different. I had the support, and I had people sending me things, and I had a letter and a card every day, and it was totally different, and these other women didn't. And they're standing there in this circle, and they're waiting for their names to be called. It's so sad. So I started getting other people on the outside to start writing these women, start sending cards. I would give their GDC numbers and their, you know, their names, and I would say, send them cards. They haven't gotten a card in 20 years. Mm. Or, you know, just, so I started buying packages for these women, and I got crosses on hundreds of women in there.
Wow.
And then they're like, how do you pray? We don't know how to pray.
Yeah.
And so I went to my room. I prayed in the spirit for 40 minutes. There's something really key about praying in the spirit for 40 minutes.
Yeah. Mm.
It's very key. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But so as I'm praying, the Lord gives me a prayer. And I write it down, and everybody wants me to write it down. And it's taking a lot of time to write. So I send it in to a friend. She puts it on this beautiful butterfly paper.
Mm-hmm.
And she sends it back to me in hundreds. And I'm distributing these out to the women. And they're asking, and they're getting moved to different prisons. And they're writing me and saying, can you send those here to this prison? So I started my first mission field in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. And I was like, God, this is beautiful. This is great. This is my first mission field. Don't let me out. So whatever this is in me is gone. You know, I didn't trust myself. I didn't want to be out and be that same person.
Mm.
So it didn't matter. If I served 5 years, I was okay with it.
Mm.
I really had surrendered to that point. So when I was studying all these books in my room, the Lord spoke to me so clearly and said, the only thing that will change your old mindset is the Word of God. Memorize the Scripture a day. So I started doing that, and that started rewiring my brain. It was the Word of God that rewired my brain. I know it. I mean, I just know it.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond a doubt. I've seen in the Spirit. He's actually shown me it connecting before, and I don't know if it was a dream or a vision. I saw it. And I know the Word of God has power. He says it.
Amen.
You know, it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
So he started telling me, I'm created in His image.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 1:26 says, I am in His image. And then Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It shall not return to me void.
Mm-hmm.
But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it.
Mm-hmm.
So every word that I'm speaking is coming back to me. But the negative is coming back to me negative. Because I'm created in His image, and the Word has power,
mm-hmm.
and it has authority. So I start teaching the women this. And then He showed me a mirror imaging and all of these discipline factors, things that I did while I was in. And it was just really vitally important for my foundation that He was laying while I was in, for my purposes to be fully accomplished in Him.
Well, when you speak, you talk about that rewiring my brain, and I think of the taking, you know, ripping off the white pieces of toilet paper, you know, that are clouding the Word of God and the Spirit of God that's within us. And so
Amen.
It's allowed to suddenly bloom because it's not covered, and it's not covered
beautiful.
By that hardened spirit that has come and oppressed, right? So
yes.
It's allowing the seed that was planted in you at, 3, 4, 5 years old to suddenly receive the truth, right? The truth of who we are made to be and God's word.
Yes.
You spent time in prison developing this ministry and working with these women, and then there was a time when God allowed you to come back out. How was that transition?
Yeah, well, it was hard for the ladies, I'll say that.
Yeah.
And, because you know they're hungry. They're just hungry. I have to say they need support. They need somebody to teach them. And but while I was in, I joined every class that I could because I wanted to be a different person, and it takes that education for us to learn and to become new, and especially in the Word of God, and to renew our minds every day. But I joined this creative writing class, and in it, the lady says, the instructor told me I needed to bring a poem back when I came, and I hadn't written a poem before, and so I went and I prayed in the Spirit for 40 minutes. And there's a poem, it's actually on the website, or I can recite it now, but it's called the confrontation within. Mm-hmm. And it has so much power. It's anointed. It's truly anointed. And every word of it has so much meaning. And it's really profound. So my book is actually called See Me Free from the Confrontation Within.
Mm-hmm. Can you maybe share with us a little bit of that?
I would love to. I would love to. Okay, it's called The Confrontation Within. There is an intention for something far greater, something that runs counter to my conscience. It's struggling to make itself known. I must confront the fears to try to keep me on the seat of anxiety so that my true self may come to its fullness in reality. My ego keeps me running from myself, and I don't want to admit it. I am a battle within. Or am I within the battle? This force, where does it come from? Where must it go? I must confront the demons within to unfold the greatness of true self without sin. Is this who God has created? The confrontation within has to be met with boldness, with authority, with faith in truth. Who holds that truth? Do you know? One thing is for sure, only in Him can I truly grow. Lord, teach me to battle. Teach me to win. Teach me to conquer. The confrontation within. Sorry.
So good. That is so good.
Yeah, that's from him. I've never written a poem. So it's totally.
We're speaking today with Pamela Hillman of Life Changers Legacy. We're going to take a quick break, but if you'd like more information or you'd like to have that poem, you can download it from her website, lifechangerslegacy.org. Yes. You can also download the prayer that she wrote on that beautiful butterfly paper from the same lifechangerslegacy.org. Go ahead and go there. Download those resources. Share it with someone. Share that prayer with somebody who needs a touch of the Lord. Share that poem with somebody who is struggling with the confrontation within. We're going to come back and we're going to really talk a lot more about Life Changers Legacy, the prison and reentry program that Pamela Hillman has started, its success in the state of Georgia, its attack on the rate of recidivism, less people going back to prison because of a ministry. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro. I'm in studio with Suzanne Maurer, and we are having a great conversation with Pamela Hillman. Her testimony: she's the president and founder of Life Changers Legacy Prison and Reentry Program. Since leaving prison herself, Pamela has been certified by numerous counseling programs, has become an ordained chaplain in order to best equip her ministry for success. Since 2012, Life Changers Legacy has seen the rate of recidivism, or a return to prison, drop in the state of Georgia every year. Pamela, thank you so much for the service, first of all, that you are doing to those that are most in need. Thank you. I just want to pause and say praise God for you, your passion, your strength, all that God has equipped you with. You said something in the last segment that you rewired your brain with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And if we could just put that on a plaque somewhere and put that in every school and every prison, the world would be different, I think. Yes. It was a good word, rewire your brain with the Word of God. Tell us how Life Changers Legacy launched.
Began. Okay. Well, once I, you know, was released, I knew The women were crying and saying, oh, nobody's going to write us. Nobody ever writes us. You're not going to write us. And and so I made sure that I wrote everyone and, you know, had the list so with that, I just started emailing. Of course, they have an email system here that you can email the prisoners. So I said, you know, I need to get other people engaged, because I have hundreds of women and it's hard to keep up with. And I was working at an engineering company for 4 years, and my boss was just so amazing that he allowed me to actually do ministry work after I finished everything. He said, you know, if you finish 2 o'clock, then you have the rest of the day and you're still paid.
Wow.
So it was a great setup. But so that's really how it started. And, but I started getting other people involved because I couldn't keep up with it. And then all of the workshops and the material and everything, all the notes, the certifications and everything that I had learned, I put it into a 4-phase workbook. And it's amazing. And it is Holy Spirit infused. It really is, because I look back at it and I'm like, and now, oh my gosh, we have the CADC licensed lady on board with us, and she looked at it. She said, this is stellar. She said, I have never seen a program like this. Wow. You have everything in it that is necessary for the measurable outcomes for anything. Wow. And I'm like, really? I said, that's Holy Spirit. That's all Holy Spirit, believe me. I mean, I learned a lot of this stuff through, you know, the courses I took, but I know I didn't know how to put it together. So I do give him all the credit, or most of it. So with the workbook, it's called See Me Free. I See Me Free. And then each week's lesson is I See Me Accountable, or I see me with my identity in Christ. I see me with knowledge at the very end. It's with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And then they review all of it. And then at the end of the week's lesson, they have a declaration that they call out that I am with my identity in Christ. And so they repeat that 9 times. Wow. There's something about the number 9, repeating it 9 times. That's what the Lord taught me.
Wow.
And then, so we provide a mentor. We have a match system. We have a software system that we have developed for us that does like a match.com. And it's really perfect. It matches them with a mentor, and it's done through the interest form that each of the people sign, and we have a lot of paperwork, a lot of intake paperwork, but it's necessary. It's really necessary for raining and hours raining and it's on Zoom. So we don't have to go anywhere. But it's all done through email and video visits. You don't even have to go into a prison to support and to love on and encourage and empower somebody within the prison.
So good.
So we're actually, we already launched the men's prison as well. We've been focusing on the women, and we've been in all of the women's prisons in Georgia. We're in Illinois. We're in 40 prisons in Uganda. We're in the UK. Canada wants this model. They want to bring it there. And the Bahamas and Anguilla. So, you know, it's a model that, that can be used anywhere.
Pamela, so, first of all, I just want to, technically, you're kind of going in and out just to, so maybe, I'm not sure what's happening there, but you said that you are in other countries? This program is now being used by other countries, other states?
We are in we've been in Uganda for about 6 years. We've been, we have pastors there that go in. Uganda and Kenya. And we have now translated, about a year and a half ago, translated into Shawnee and Lugana languages in the workbook. So we have about 150 students there, and it's just, they're changing. I get letters about their transformation, and they're just changed, and it's through the power of the word. And the workbooks are created with all of the psychotherapy that's needed. It has the TREM model, which is the trauma recovery empowerment model. It has the cognitive behavior, the stages of change, critical thinking. It has everything that's necessary for changing the
mindset. So how can we get it here in Hawaii?
Well, you just fill out the paperwork, go and request on our website. Request on the website for the paperwork to become a mentor. Just go and click, and then we'll send you the paperwork. And you fill that out, send it back to us. You can take the workbooks. We have the workbooks being taught in jails and prisons as a group setting as well. And then if you choose to gather up in your community mentors that can mentor each individual, and they walk alongside each other in the workbook. The Lord told me it's a two-edged sword. It's bringing healing to the mentors as well as the mentees, because we all still have stuff. We all got stuff, and we'll continue until glory. To have stuff being removed and changing us. You know, it's the sanctification process, and we're always growing. So we want that.
I hope we can get that here in Hawaii for sure.
I would love to partner with you.
Pamela, we are we're kind of coming to the close of our time, unfortunately. Would love to continue to talk, but really what I want to end with is really an opportunity to request that you would pray. Pray for those who have a seed in them that are struggling in the confrontations or the challenges of peeling away those tissues, of rewiring their brain with the Word of God. So many of us, we don't have to be in jail, but we certainly are in our own jail of not being able to break free from the past, break free from the lies. Would you please pray for our listeners, for all of us, before we leave today? Thank you.
Thank you, Father God. Lord, I want to just lift up every listener on your mercy seat through the power of your blood, Lord Jesus, and thank you that they have ears to hear and a heart to receive what you have spoken to them this day. Father, we just bind the enemy from any lies off of them right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you penetrate the heart, that you break up all that foul ground. Just break it up, Father, and plant the seeds that are necessary. And bring the waterers, Lord. Bring those people that can fertilize. Bring the growth, Father, and I just thank you that you bring the support system to those that need it the most. You know who they are, Lord, and I thank you for that. thank you, Lord, that every word that's been spoken, that you will continue to minister in their hearts and minds, even as they sleep, Lord. Draw them mm-hmm. closer to you. Yeah. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And we want more of you. We want your love. I pray for your love to saturate mm-hmm. every person, Father, and just minister as they sleep, as they walk about. Bring an abundance mm-hmm. of Holy Spirit-filled Christians into their lives, yeah. Lord, and just create that holiness that we want so much to be like you. Continue the process of growth, Lord. Let us be willing participants. Mm-hmm. And Father, let us be available at all times for those that we come across, Lord, that need you. They need a touching hand mm-hmm. from you through us. We are your extension. And Father, I thank you that each person that's listening, that you will give a smile to somebody in a store, anybody that walks by you. Give them a Holy Spirit smile. Yeah. Give them the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. Let your light so shine to the hearts of those who need it. You just don't know. It might be that one person that's really thinking about suicide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your smile and your kind word could change their life. It's not just about going into the prison. It's about every person that we come in contact with. So we're to change the environment that we go into. We're glory carriers, and we're to show his light and that glory everywhere, and be that love and be that joy and be that strength that somebody needs. So I thank you, and I impart this upon you this day and forevermore, and blessings upon everyone in this show. Mm-hmm. I thank you so much, and I thank you that it grows and that the hearers, that they come aboard, and it's just expanded. That just as a Jabez prayer, that mm-hmm. he expands your mm-hmm. territory.
Amen.
And I thank you for that. And we seal this prayer Amen. With the Holy Spirit fire. Amen. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Such powerful, powerful prayer, Pamela. Thank you. Powerful testimony thank from you. Pamela Hillman. We thank God for you. There is no better time than right now to share that love, the love that Pamela talked about that she also received with somebody near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect time, the day, the hour, the minute, for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Accept him. We need him. We need his word. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus for more information. If you'd like to help us with your support, a donation, prayers. We appreciate that. Continue to pray for our ministry as we continue to bring the testimony of Jesus out. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own body. It is always a blessing to be with you. We thank our guest, Pamela Hillman. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and web designer Arlen Nagata. I'm Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash
Thank
your
you
God-given purpose today.
Of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.